Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Come on too strong. You got your opinions and the right to say I'm wrong. That's the way I am. What you see is what you get. I'm a free thinking, beer drinking, politically incorrect redneck. I don't hate nobody, don't mean to stir things up. I don't use the right words, I ain't sensitive enough. It's gotten too damn easy to step on people's toes. You sugarcoat the truth or get sued before you know. No matter what I say, somebody gets upset with this free thinking, beer drinking, politically incorrect redneck. I'm sorry, I'm so backward, so crude, so second class. Help me out and tell me, what's the PC way to say, kiss my ass? I wonder who these people are that sit around all day, making up a list of words we can and cannot say. They got everybody thinking, this should be the law. I read the First Amendment, I know my rights, y'all. Well, call me civil-minded. Well, that's what you expect from this free thinking, beer drinking, politically incorrect redneck. Oh, tell me, sir. No regret, I'm a free thinking, beer drinking, politically incorrect redneck. I'm a free thinking, beer drinking, politically incorrect redneck.
That's right. You can tell them all they can kiss my grill. Go look that up in your PC dictionary.
Good morning, everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio Land. This is the Brilliant Ideas Radio Show, and I am Brilliant Ideas, and welcome to the show. We appreciate you joining us again this Saturday morning, and that, by the way, was Todd Berry, and Todd Berry is a guest who will be coming on in a couple of weeks with us, and when I heard that song from Todd, I figured I had to use that as our intro music for the show, because I am kind of a politically incorrect redneck. And so thanks, Todd, for letting us use that music for the show. And thank you, everyone, once again, like I said, for joining us. I'd like to say also thank you for joining us each and every week. We keep hitting new numbers that are good. We got lots of people listening. If you are a person out there looking to promote your product or you want to be on the show, you can sing, you can dance, whatever you can do. We're always looking for new talent to come on our show and join us on a Saturday morning. And like I said, we keep growing. We're in the food category on Blog Talk Radio, and we have been finishing in the top 10 for the last, many, many months. And matter of fact, last week I think we were number 3 or number 4. So thank you, everybody, for your support. And as usual, on Blog Talk Radio, I'm having issues with the sound system again this morning. They've I don't know if you've noticed that they've actually changed the Blog Talk Radio sign-in page when you come in the morning. I was hoping that that would help things here, but I'm going to have to do a reset while I run my mouth to see if we can get everybody on here with us again this morning. And so I apologize for the delay here, but that's just typical of how Blog Talk Radio works. While I'm waiting to get my co-host on and also our food news girl, Laurie, I want to mention that today's guest, we have Denise Vilvaldo joining us. And Denise is a cookbook writer. She's also a contributor to Huffington Post. And then we have Saber Ricci. And I think Laurie, if I'm playing my cards right here, Laurie, our food news Jersey style girl. Do I have you, Laurie? Good morning.
Good morning. I'm here.
All right. Well, one out of two ain't bad. I'm trying to get Hank Bob on here with us too, but I found you in Cyberland. I just hope I can get him on. So, how are you this morning, Laurie?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, having a grand old time playing with the radio station, as you can tell.
Of course.
Can you? As soon as the system starts up and the show starts, it seems like that's when all the little gremlins come running into my computer. But can you tell that I'm panicking in the background?
Nah, you do a good job. You stay calm.
Well, Laurie,
how's the weather in San Diego?
Oh, the weather. Well, the weather right now is actually a little chilly this morning, overcast and chilly, but I can't complain because I guess on the East Coast, is it probably cold out there?
Well, I woke up this morning. One of my sisters said, come for coffee. I said, okay. So I got up early. It was 19 degrees, so I couldn't wait to get to her house and have a nice piping cup of coffee. So, yeah, but it's a beautiful day. It's a crystal blue sky, and the sun is shining, but it's a little chilly.
That's what you get for living in New Jersey.
And the groundhog, I think. Wait a minute, Happy Groundhog Day!
Oh yeah,
I just realized.
Right.
It's spring's coming early.
I never could say his name, Puxatani. I think that's how you say it, but he came out and didn't see a shadow, so it's supposed to be an early spring.
Yes, and happy birthday to my aunt Sandy because she's born on Groundhog Day.
Well, there you go.
I think that's Lizzie's mom. That's Lizzie's mom, my cousin Liz.
Oh, yes. Well, happy birthday. Hey, I was going to have Aaron/Hank Bob on here to talk about his rooster, but I can't get him on for some reason. Every time I keep hitting the button, it's not coming up, so I'm going to bypass the rooster story. And I did want to ask you a few weeks ago, I think actually it was last week on our show, I mentioned, and everybody thinks I'm crazy, but I mentioned how when I was a kid, my parents removed a splinter from my rear end using a piece of bacon, and I caught all kinds of crap on Facebook because of everybody said they were wasting bacon doing that. But didn't you look it up online and find out that it was true, that I wasn't telling the lie? It does work?
And you know what? It works for glass. If you get glass in your hand, it works for that too. They said absolutely. And the fatty part of the raw bacon, you put the white, the fatty part on, and you put a Band-Aid or whatever, you tape it up. Sometimes it could take a couple days, but you're 100% dead on. It's a fact. It will do that.
Well, see, I told everybody that, and they didn't believe me, but I know it took the splinter out of my butt, so there you go. So you're getting ready for the Super Bowl, Laurie?
You know me. I'm a golf girl. I like very easy sport. Football is very rough to me. I'm scared of it.
Oh, man. Like,
I know, like, you want,
I know I want to tick off some people. What?
I'm afraid of football. It's just, they're always getting hurt. And I just.
Well, I'm going to tick off some people. And first of all, how can you watch golf on television? I mean, I'd rather watch grass grow or watch bread toast. It's more exciting than golf.
I love golf. My dream is to have a pink golf bag. I took lessons years ago. The instructor was pretty impressed. He said I had a good eye. I didn't miss the ball. So one of these days, I'm gonna golf. That's my.
Well, when I golf, I have golf clubs in my bag. I also have a shovel and a chainsaw because that's usually where I'm spending my time. It's in the sand pit and in the woods. So I take that along in my golf bag.
I'll teach you. When I get better at it, I'll teach you like that.
Well, even though you're not a Super Bowl girl, I understand you have a story that's kind of interesting about the Super Bowl.
I have a fantastic story. And thank you, my sweet, sweet friend, Sunbless, because she found this story for me. So would you like me to go ahead and start reading it?
Yeah, that's why I kind of queued you up for that.
Maybe I should go back to my sister's and have more coffee. I don't know.
Yeah, really, or put something in the coffee. But, yes, please tell the Super Bowl story.
Okay. Here we go. Da-da-da-da. Okay, consumers' Super Bowl spending hits new heights. More than 179.1 million people, except me, will watch this year's Super Bowl on Sunday, February 3rd, up from an estimated 172.5 million last year, and the retailers can expect a sizable boost in spending as consumers prepare for the big game. I have a quick question. If I take you off speaker for a second and I hold the phone regular, will I sound better? Like, do I sound okay?
You sound fine. Have...
Okay. So I know I keep you on speaker, and I thought someone had said that.
No, you're fine. Read your story. I'll tell you when you sound like crud and it's time to turn off the speakerphone. But no, everything sounds fine right now.
Just pull me under the bus. Okay. According to a new survey by the Retail Advertising and Marketing Association, the average game watcher will spend $68.54 on new televisions for viewing parties, snacks, decor, and athletic apparel, up from $63.87 last year, with a total Super Bowl spending expected to reach nearly $12.3
billion. Billion with a B.
B. Billion.
Wow.
Gathering with friends and family for the Super Bowl is an American tradition. Well, and this year it seems consumers are in the mood to celebrate, which is good news for retailers who typically see slower online and foot traffic during these months. It says here the survey found that nearly 74% of viewers intend to buy food and beverages to celebrate the game, including wings, pizza, chips, and soda. Additionally, 3.9 million households will buy new furniture items such as entertainment centers, chairs, and couches, and 7.5 million will purchase decorations. And given the popularity of the teams this year, 17 million fans will buy team apparel or accessories to support their preferred team, up from 14.8 million last year. So, yeah, this is hysterical. Of those planning to watch the Super Bowl, more than 7.5 million households will buy a new television. Young adults at ages 18 to 24 are most likely to purchase the new televisions. In terms of where consumers will watch the big game, the survey found 39.4 million people will throw a party, another 59.9 million will attend the party, and more than 10.1 million people will watch the game at a restaurant or a bar.
Wow.
Did it talk
about hot wings?
It just said wings. It didn't say hot wings.
Well, you can't eat
cold. No, I thought you meant like spicy hot. I didn't know you meant
spicy hot. That's exactly what I meant.
Are you throwing me under the bus?
No. Actually, I'm just filling in air right now because my system's not working, and I'm listening to your story and just trying to be humorous and not doing a very good job at it. But Continue.
Good. Okay. With planned viewership rising this year, it appears that an increasing number of people are finding Super Bowl Sunday the perfect excuse to get together, show off that new TV, try a new recipe, or simply shake off the winter blues for a night. Ever wary of their budgets, consumers will be on the lookout for those hard-to-beat deals on TVs, food, and other Super Bowl-related items that they've come to expect from retailers as they plan their gatherings this year. Consumers of all ages enjoy the Super Bowl for a number of reasons, and the survey finds that commercials are increasingly becoming a primary form of entertainment. And I do agree, that's the one thing about the Super Bowl. If I'm at a party or something, oh, great, the commercial. So I do look forward to it. Because
we're glad you can join the party when the commercial comes on.
Otherwise, I'm in a corner drinking wine somewhere. But more than three-quarters of viewers say that they see the commercials as entertainment. More than three-quarters. So, see, that's a lot. And overall, when asked what they thought was the most important part of the Super Bowl, 45.3% of the viewers said it's the game, and more than one-quarter agreed it's the commercials. Additionally, they like getting together with friends, and 9.6% say the halftime show is what matters most to them. So that's always fun, too, when you have, Yeah. And then last it says here, for advertisers, commercials are a way to increase awareness of a brand or service, and they've got an unusual, captivated audience. The survey found 19.5% say the commercials make them aware of the advertiser's brand, and another 10.5% say the commercials influence them to buy products from the advertisers, and it's the highest percentage reported in the survey's history.
Wow.
So you do remember the commercials.
Oh, yeah. Well,
they spend
millions. I think it's over $2 million per commercial that they have to spend. So I guess they get the bang for their buck, and they have to because they're spending all that money. I personally don't like to go to Super Bowl parties because every time I go, I miss the game because there's usually a bunch of people walking around talking, and you got to be polite and you got to socialize. Meanwhile, the game's going on and you can't watch the game. So I kind of crawl into my dungeon and watch the football game because that's what it's supposed to be about anyway.
You crawl into a man cave?
Yeah, the man cave / dungeon. It's you can watch the game. I did. I'm like, 2-3 years ago, I went to Super Bowl party, and I missed the whole thing. Plus, the guy had a TV that only had, like, 5 chairs sitting around it, and there was, like, 40 of us there. So if you got to see it, you were seeing it at an angle from the kitchen, behind the fruit and vegetable tray. So it was just, it wasn't any fun. So anyway, well, I'm going to be enjoying the Super Bowl tomorrow with my own little party with some hot wings and some wine and a few other things. So I'm watching the game.
I'm sure you are. I'll be the one not. Like the only one. I'm telling you, my family, they're all getting together at my brother's house. They're all going to go. And I'm like, Lori, aren't you coming? I'm like, maybe I'll just, pop in. No.
Oh, well. Now we got to do our next second. I just realized, man, the clock is ticking. We've got to do our contest, the sexy kitchen contest, kitchen story contest.
Absolutely.
So I just want to tell everybody, if you didn't send in a contest entry, too bad for you. All right, we're getting ready to give away 3 of Saber Ricci's book called Sexy Star Sign Cooking. She asked us to do a contest, and if you've been listening for the last few weeks, the contest was you send in your sexy kitchen story, and then we're going to read the 3 winners on today's show, and each one of those people will receive one of Saber Ricci's new books. So you missed out on a free book, guys, if you didn't get in the entry, and give us an entry and participate. And, Laurie, I'm going to let you read. We read this one, I think 2 weeks ago was our first entry, and everyone made fun of me when I read it. It just didn't sound exactly right. It kind of sounded weird when I read it. So we picked the 3 winners. This person is anonymous, and they didn't want us to tell their name, so we're not going to tell the name of this particular person, but this is one of the people who won. So, Laurie Reed, entry number one.
Okay. It's Valentine's Day, and my love was coming to see me. As he entered through the door, he followed the rose petals that I had placed on the floor. They led him into the kitchen. I dimmed the lights, and the candles were lit, the table was set, and the music was softly playing in the background. I was dressed for the occasion with a sheer, red-hot negligee and heels. A beautiful ruby-red heart necklace draped around my neck. He entered the kitchen, and then it happened. He kissed me. And as his warm, sensual, tender lips touched mine, I suddenly felt the sweat, rich, dark chocolate sensation exploding in my mouth. The gentle feel of his tongue swirling and dancing around, and the smooth, creamy chocolate slowly seeping down my throat was the most erotic experience I have ever had. I swallowed every ounce. It was as if his tongue was making love to mine. His kiss will be etched in my mind for all eternity.
And there you go, folks. That was entry number one. That person who's anonymous, who was afraid to tell their name, will get one of the copies of the book, Sexy Star Song Cooking. I still don't understand that story, because I guess the guy walked in with, and was eating a Hershey bar when he walked into the kitchen, because somewhere the chocolate came into play. But
yes, that's exactly what it was.
That's number one.
You know the lint, the ones, the little square ones that dark chocolate.
Yeah, I like those.
It's got the smooth, silky, wet chocolate. I think that's what.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Number two.
So that was entry number one. Now you want to do entry number two, and this person said we could use their name, and you have all that information there in front of you.
For the slow death.
No, that's the last one we're going to do. The next one we're going to do, I think, is the one for the outside. You can take either one. Doesn't matter. Which one do you want to do first?
I'll just scroll down because I had the slow death one. You want to say who did that one? Want me to read
first? Yeah, okay. Well, do the slow death. Our next entry was our good friend Emily Ellen. Emily Ellen, who you guys have heard on the show. She heard about the contest, and she gave us an entry. And I had to choose it just because, A, it was Emily Ellen, and B, it's a great story. So,
really
Emily Ellen, thank you for the entry, and go ahead, Laurie, read that one.
Okay. Slow death. I fill my lungs with air. Lips quiver as I breathe in. I then exhale, shudder. I have a slight shiver that runs through my body. My eyes open wide after the sensation that has just shook my entire being still lingers on my lips. Boy, you all got the kisses and the lips and everything going on here. I read this. This is really good. The rush that you experience after eating something unexpectedly delicious can only be equated to the more intimate sexual moments. After a few weeks of finding myself drawn to roulettes, confits, and just good creamy butter smeared on my warm homemade bread, it was no wonder that I woke my partner to a love-making sensation that lived up to the dream I had just had. Oh, yes, I was in full ecstasy, prompted by a week of foods poached, whipped, and dipped in fat. I was having intense dreams of poaching eggs in butter. The thoughts of how the shimmering fat would add flavor to an already rich food made my toes curl and made me giggle with excitement. After the dream, I flirted with the idea for a few days. I toyed with how I would broach this sexy poach. Would I add acid to the liquid like we do in a standard poaching? Would I use pounds and pounds of butter like Paula Deen? No. Or would I use water or stock and add a bit of butter to enhance the poaching liquid? And then, to taunt me more, what would I salt? I wanted the eggs to be well-seasoned, after I did not want the egg to be merely seasoned as an afterthought. Though, to cut the fat, a nice pop of salt from a sea salt crystal atop a soft yolk with a slight burst of nutty heat from crushed black peppercorns may be what the dish needed. The foreplay was too much to bear, and it was time to break the egg and start cooking. The first time, which is always clumsy, was more of basting than of poaching. though the warm mouthfeel of butter and yolk coating my tongue and mouth still linger, and I knew I was on to something. We got that tongue and mouth thing going on. That's so funny.
Well, thank you, Emily Ellen, for that entry.
Yes.
And Emily, we're sending you one of Saber Ricci's books, Sexy Star Sign Cooking. And that's a good one. I like the favorite part. My favorite part is when she talks about toes curling. I mean, if you can curl toes, then you've really done something. So that was a good sexy kitchen story. And then our last entry, and you have the information there because my system's not working. Who was the first one?
Yes, I don't have a name. I know you sent it to me, but I don't have her name.
All right. Well, I'll have to announce her name on Facebook. But go ahead and read the next one. This is an outdoorsy story. It's kind of a kitchen story. And go ahead, Laura.
Really
you can read this one.
Yeah. Was her name Corey? Something?
No, it's Lorna. Lorna was her first name.
Lorna.
But
yes. Lorna something. Okay. That's nice that they let you use their name. So, see, you're not making this stuff up.
Nope, I'm
anyway.
Not.
No. Except the anonymous. I mean, that's okay. One summer, a few years ago, I went to Santa Barbara, California to meet up with a male friend and take a 5-day class on enlightenment. After completing the class, we decided to celebrate with a camping trip to the beach. On the way, we took a side trip up in the mountains. We found the top of the mountain and parked his Cadillac on a flat spot. The sky was clear and cloudless. With no moon, it was very dark, and the stars were brilliant. The Santa Ana winds were blowing like a soft caress, a perfect romantic setting. We decided to forego the beach for an evening on the mountain. The tent went up, and our outdoor kitchen came to life as the chicken and vegetables sizzled over the grill. We enjoyed some hot sake, and as the winds blew and the coyotes howled and the sake had its effect, we decided to, quote, renew our friendship in a more intimate way. It was a wonderful, romantic evening. Very early the next morning, as the sun was coming up, we made the startling discovery that we were camped on the side of a very deep crevice in the earth. You might have heard of it. It's called the San Andres Fault. Looking around, you might imagine our surprise when we realized the back tires of the car were right at the edge of the crevice with one tire hanging over a few inches. The fault line at that point had an 8-foot drop and about 6 feet wide and stretched along the mountains for as far as we could see. We looked at each other and laughed until we couldn't breathe. Undeterred, we decided to make coffee and grill up some buckwheat pancakes while wondering if our encounter registered on the Richter scale. We put some wood down under the back tires and moved the car to a more stable spot. We loaded up the car and drove down the mountain, laughing all the way to the beach. That's really
and there good. There you go. We appreciate everyone with their entries to the Sexy Kitchen Story Contest. Each one of those that we read will be sending you a free book from Saber Ricci, and Saber Ricci is actually going to be joining us at the end of the show with her recipes for love, and that's on. She'll be coming on at 9:30 or 12:30 East Coast time. And I'm going to take a break, Laura. I need you to hang tight because since my system's not working completely right, we're supposed to have our next guest, Denise Delvaldo, is coming on to talk with us if the system decides and wants to work with me. I'm going to try to take a break here and play some music, and if it works, we should hear music here in a second. If it doesn't work, we're in trouble. There we go. We'll be right back. we are back. And Laurie, are you still with me?
I am still here.
Well, oh my God, we're having so much fun over here. I'm trying to bring on our guest, and as usual, I'm having problems with good old Blog Talk Radio, so I'm going to try something here. Give me a second, folks, and if this should work, I hope I'm doing something completely different than I've ever done before. I'm going to try it this way. We should have Denise Gilvato joining us here shortly. Come on, Blog Talk Radio. Laurie, you got any more stories you want to tell while we're waiting? It's still not working.
I have feel good food, maybe addictive. So direct evidence has not been found. I would say so.
Oh, hold on. I think it might be working. It's thinking about it. Okay, maybe we've got her. Denise, do we have you?
Can you hear me?
Yay!
Oh, it worked! You're a genius!
Sorry, Denise. It's just like every Saturday, the little grim come into my computer just when the show starts, and then I start having problems. But we are live and well right now. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I am very impressed. I know none of your tragedies beforehand. I'm impressed with you today.
Well, thank you. Well, we're impressed with you, and thank you for coming on the show. And
my pleasure.
I wanted to have you on because you just have an interesting story. It sounds like you're a very busy lady. I got your name and information from, we all know her as Sunblessed, but Carol. And Carol says, you got to have this lady on the show. You got to have this lady on the show.
That's
and
nice.
I've been checking out your website, DeniseGilvaldoGroup.com. And I wanted to have you on just so you can tell us what the heck are you up to, because between writing books and blogs and participating in the Huffington Post, I'm not sure if you'd have time to breathe, but welcome to the show and let us know all about your company.
Well, you know what? That is so sweet of you. I'll tell you, I do like to stay busy, so I'm grateful. You know, I like to stay busy. I am a professionally trained chef, was a caterer for a million years, loved it. But, you know, caterers have a lifespan, as I always say. our hips start to go out like old German shepherds. So I was able to transition into food styling for print and TV because most of my catering clients were TV celebrities. So at first, I just started writing their cookbooks. You know, I helped with the I learned to be a recipe tester, and I started writing, helping with their books, which was fabulous.
Right.
And then I was able to transition into writing some of my own books. So I've written 8 books, and they're all available as the shameless plug on Amazon.com. And we still do that. And I do blog a little bit for the Huffington Post. And, you know, I write book reviews or certain things like that. I enjoy it very much. But the writing and the food styling go together because they're, you know, it's just all about food. That's what
right.
It is. It's all about food.
Well, isn't the main focus, other than writing the books and the blogs, you also do quite a bit of like things for like food photography.
Absolutely.
And
that's
that type of thing within your DeniseGilvaldoGroup.com?
Yep. We get clients, as an example, we have clients that have, you know, that are multi-million-dollar companies. Then we have clients that are one little individual, you know, standalone shop. But food pictures, beautiful, you know, now people call it food porn, but basically a mouth-watering picture of a hamburger can sell that hamburger.
Oh, definitely.
So, you know, whether it's on a menu board or in a cookbook or on television, what food stylists do is we sell food or we're selling a brand.
Right. So how long, now you've been doing this, I was looking at your bio,
you started
Food Fanatics, what, 1988?
Yes, a long time ago, and I moved to L.A. on purpose from San Francisco after graduating from the CCA there, because I knew that there was a big television element here, so that there would be, you know, work. You know, I always tease, you really don't work for celebrities because they're, you know, you want to, but they have a lot of money.
Right.
It makes it,
yes.
You know,
yes,
I can overlook a lot when they're writing the big checks. So that's basically, you know, and we do, we're very lucky. It's, you know, for years people didn't even know that food stylists existed. It's only been with you know, TV shows, the Chef Food Network and Bravo, where
right.
you're seeing people compete and you're doing this. But, you know, there's always a food stylist or a culinary producer somewhere in the back that's getting all that food delivered. Do you know what I mean? Or set
right.
up.
Right.
So it's a, and the web and the internet has made a huge, you know, a huge, people, food is just everywhere. And then blogging, my God, you know, people write about, you know, everything they eat for lunch.
Exactly. Well, you have, I mean, Facebook, when we, you know, we always see posts on Facebook. We have a lot of foodies that we follow, and they follow us, and it's kind of funny. It's like you get the guy who will post, is, I got up this morning, and I poured some milk into a bowl, and then I added the cereal, and then, you know, and then 3 hours later, then I went and made my ham sandwich and put some tomato. I mean, it's just like you get to hear everything the guy's eating all day long.
Yes, there are moments that, and I do it too. But I love it because we usually are eating a test for lunch. The girls that work with me, you know, or we're developing something new. And I swear, if we post a picture or something like that, the Hungarian goulash gets more attention than the election. So I know, and there are moments that when I post something, I think to myself, this is not exactly riveting news, but but I enjoy other people's food posts too. I follow you on Facebook. I like to see what people are doing. It's fascinating.
Well, it is fascinating. And well, that's why when we started this show, honestly, about a year and a half ago, it was sort of done on a whim. And then it's kind of branched off to where it's got kind of a cult following. We have a lot of people listen to the show. And I've come to the conclusion that the reason the show is successful is because everybody's got to eat.
That's exactly right.
So you've always got some kind of market. People are eating something. So tell us.
And drinking.
And drinking, too. That's true.
They go hand in hand.
Exactly.
So tell us, like, what's some famous things you've done? Have you done any, like, famous commercials?
Oh, my
God.
Some of them I can speak of. Some of them I have to take to the grave.
Right,
but I
okay.
will say this. If you watch the, like, last season of Just Desserts on Bravo, which was the pastry show, they opened it with 144 different dessert plates that the chefs appeared to be putting on the table, and it spelled out Just Desserts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was my company. So just so you know, that took, and of course there was a tremendous amount of, you know, everything about television is hurry up to rush, hurry up, you know, and then rush and then sit and then do it again and then think about it and then get it approved by the network. So it's never, but that took like five girls 5 days to make all those plates. Actually, by the time we'd worked out all the details, by the time Cindy, who works with me, had worked, you know, really, it was night and day, and it was brilliant and everything. But I kept saying to her, honey, that food's going to rot before we get it on camera. They got to start shooting. So but we've done that. We've done, let me think. We've done many. We work on a weekly basis with, you know, at Access Live or KTLA for live live cookbook authors or chefs that are on tour. We've done probably now this is something that's funny, and this is because I travel a lot teaching. We were the original, if you've ever seen the infomercial, The Magic Bullet.
Infomercial. Oh, yes, The Magic Bullet. Is that the thing, the grinder thing?
Yes. The Magic Bullet is like the number one selling product ever brought to the American public in an infomercial.
Really?
And something outrageous like 250, you know, 250 countries around the world. It has sold over $200 million worth of Magic Bullets. And we styled that, but we also came up with most of the recipes for it. And I was in Guatemala, in a field in Guatemala, meeting some people, and when they brought me into their home, they had a Magic Bullet. So they were not impressed with me at all. Do you know what I mean? Until I said to them, oh, my God, you have a Magic Bullet. I worked on that. Then the language barrier dropped down, and I was a goddess. So the magic bullet, I always say to people, when I die, I guess they're going to, you know, the man that created it and brought it all to America, I keep hoping he'll have a little magic bullet in marble for me at the cemetery. Because
well, I can't remember now. Did the magic bullet, it's actually electric, right? Plug-in?
It is a plug-in, and it
well,
was.
I'm thinking Guatemala, out the middle of Guatemala, I just pictured, did the guy have electricity, or he just have
now,
a magic
luckily,
bullet? Did they worship
yes.
it, or what?
Yes, you know, they couldn't watch the TV and do the magic bullet at the same time, but that's okay. You know, the goat had a good seat. It's fascinating. We work on, and last year there were three cookbooks all on the New York Times list at the same time and the year before that we had contributed to the recipes. So we stay busy. We're lucky.
So if somebody wants to, I guess, make a cookbook, or they want to do a commercial, or they want to do some
yes.
kind of photos, where they would just contact
you
and your company, and they just, it's Denise Vivaldo Group, and you can set them up and do the photography and all that goes along with that, and you're there in Los Angeles, and I'm sitting here thinking about food I've seen on TV while I'm talking here, and
yes.
one of my favorite commercials, I don't know if you had anything to do with it, but is the Carl's Jr., commercial where they have, I think it's the guacamole burger, where they drop the burger from the sky and it falls down.
I regret to say we had nothing to do with it, but that is a beautifully done commercial. You are correct.
But that's the kind of thing that you do, though, right?
Yes. And do you know how long it probably took to get that burger to drop exactly the way they wanted it to? I mean, there's
probably
all
days.
They actually use... to slow things down, they actually use a faster speed on the camera. I know that makes no sense, but it's exactly like the bigger the shrimp, the smaller the number. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
You just know that. Well, but something like that on a commercial. What commercial? We just did a commercial. Oh, we did a big avocado commercial that played at the 4th of July that was gorgeous with this. It was kind of retro and fun and had models and old clothes. It was very, very cute. We always say there are foods that behave badly on camera, but I always say to my team, I say, listen, we're the people, we're going to win. It doesn't matter how many times it takes, we're going to win. So, but there is, you know, there is a lot that goes, a big team works to make a commercial like that, a big team.
Yeah. Well, then people don't realize what goes into doing that. Like you said earlier, it can take sometimes days to make a commercial or a photo shoot. And meanwhile, you know, the food is sitting there under hot lights, and you have to make sure it looks nice and juicy and fresh. So I've actually been to a photo shoot myself a long, long time ago, and I was just the prep that goes into it and the number of people it took just to take a photograph of a fish frying in a frying pan was amazing. So I hear through the grapevine, a little bird told me that you're also big in making chili, that you're into chili cook-offs.
Oh, my God. I was robbed. I was on Home and Family recently with Christina and Mark and Dean McDermott, who is Tori Spelling's husband and who is a chef in his own right, and Ada Malenkamp, Anyway, she's fabulous. She was on Food Network and Cooking Channel. The three of us pitted against each other in a chili by death competition. And Christina Ferrari tasted all three and said, oh, they're all delicious. I'm not going to pick a winner. That's not what I wanted at all. I wanted to win, for crying out loud.
Well, not to give out any secrets, but what's the best thing to put into chili to make it win a prize?
Now I'm going to tell you what I like about the chili that I made for that was it was beef. Of course, you could use turkey. Of course, you could use veal, beef, pork, whatever, a little combination of all, almost like a bolognese, depending on what you like. But I used Anjo chili powder in it, so we got that smoky flavor. And you know, the other thing about chili, we used it, cooked it, the other thing like chili, and I always say this about certain pastas, day old pasta, lasagna that's got a whatever kind of sauce it is, all those things taste better the second day.
Yes, they do.
Because the flavors have meld. I made a, we were doing a Hungarian goulash on Thursday, and then I brought some to a friend of mine on Friday, and as he said, my God, Denise, this is priceless. Do you know what I mean? But it's because it was, it sat for another 12, 14 hours in its own sauce, so it was pretty delicious. So we made, my chili, I made on Wednesday and brought it to the show on Friday, and I will say it had peaked. It was at perfection, and I should have won. I'm bitter.
Well, you know, since tomorrow is Super Bowl, you know there's a lot of people out there that are cooking chili, because chili seems to be one of those staples between the hot wings and the chili for Super Bowl. So, yeah, everybody's got a secret recipe when it comes to chili, and you're right. You have to cook it a day or two before, because just like soup, I like to make soup. Soup's not good until about the second or third day.
Exactly. That's exactly
like,
right.
No, what does Al say? No wine is what? How does it go? No wine is good until it's time. I think soup and chili the same way.
I understand, but I will drink wine that was done last Tuesday at 9 a.m. if I need to.
My kind of girl.
Yeah, really. I mean, let's not fool around. Sometimes it's just not very good wine, but we still drink it.
So I was looking here, too. So you actually do some entries into Huffington Post. And
I have.
What type of things do you do for them?
Well, if you go on the Huffington Post and put in my name, my I don't know, I've been doing it for a couple of years, and I blog about food. I blog about things that bother me. I just blog, you know, kind of write what I want to. I had met Arianna Huffington at a retreat, and she's very regal, you know, and very bright and very interesting. And I was telling some food story. I can't remember. I'm sure something that was just, you know, like the turkey smelled so bad and the poor talent was, you know, trying to act and not look like that turkey was making her gag. And Arianna turned to me and said, "You're very funny. You should write for me." And, you know, when she, you know, it's kind of like God came down from the mountain. I said, okay. But she's very, they're very gracious at the Huffington Post. They let me write what I want to.
Great.
Yeah, it's just plain fun.
Well, you've been plain fun. We appreciate you coming on the show with us this morning. And I want to also, you can do a shameless plug, because we have no shame here on Great Ideas. But tell everybody again what's your
and
website.
And I love that about you.
What's your website again? Give everybody your website addresses.
It's DeniseVivaldoGroup.com.
Okay, and everybody make sure you check out Denise. And by the way, Denise, I saw the postings on Facebook, I think from yesterday, about you coming on the show. And see, I was very easy on you. I didn't get into the weeds. And everybody was talking about on your post that we might be talking about sexy kitten stuff and that type of thing. But we kept it together. We didn't go there.
So often I'm confused with the sexy kitten, but actually I'm a saber-toothed tiger. That's what I posted.
Good for you. You're so cute.
Well, thank you very much for joining. Everyone who's listening, make sure you check out Denise's website, and we'll be posting some more information on our Facebook page later today about her website. And thank you, and you're always welcome to come back on the show.
You're a doll. And thank you both very much, and have a lovely weekend.
You too.
Oh,
thank
you
very much, Denise.
Goodbye.
There you go, everyone. Check out her website, DeniseVivaldoGroup.com. We appreciate her taking time to be on the show this morning. And Lori, I might need you. Oh, well, she is quite a doll. It was a great interview. And I've actually got our buddy, looks like Hank Bob, trying to call in. And I'm going to try to see if I can bring him on. The system seems to be working right now. So let's see what we've got here. Hank Bob / Aaron has been under the weather. And he's not feeling well. I don't know if he's got the flu or whatever, but let's see if we can bring him on the show. Are you there, Hank Bob? Nope, it's not working. This is always so sad. Every week. I don't know. I think I'm going to have to stop. You know, I'm up here broadcasting on the mountain, and I think the mountain is part of the issue. The internet service up here in the boonies is just not so great, so I always blame it on Blog Talk Radio, but it might be the fact that I live way up here on the mountain away from the world, so I
can't
get you.
Well, you are a mountain man.
Yeah, I definitely am a mountain man, sure. I can't get you there. Well, hold on, it's trying. Laura, you got any more stories while I'm trying to see if I can get Hank Bob on here with us?
oh, I just shut my computer off. I was thinking I was heading out now. I'm like, my niece called and says, Aunt Lori, will you take me shopping? I'm like, sure. I'll be there around 12:15. I'm like, okay.
You need to call him back and say, we're sorry, we can't go shopping right now because Brilliant needs you on the radio.
Well, no, I'm going to just have to turn back my computer again.
By the way, while I'm trying to do this, folks, I want to mention if we can keep the show going here without it exploding on me. Next week, we have Big John Nader joining us, and Big John is a harmonica player that we had on our show several months ago. And he was such a big hit. Everyone liked Big John. And he's recorded some more songs. And he's coming on next Saturday to join us to play some of his music. And then we also have Christina Westover. And she's a writer, author that got some very interesting books that I think everyone will enjoy hearing about. And then we also have another singing talent, Dwayne Svar, I think that's how you say his last name, S-J-R. He's going to be joining us. He's a country music singer, and I think everyone will really like his music. He's joining us next week, and I'm trying to stall for time as much as I can, and this is not working out really well.
Well, Hank, I'm Bob, on my computer.
You on your computer?
I'm back on again. we're just gonna have to wait.
I guess we're going to have to wait. Also, I mentioned earlier, and I'll mention it again, if you ever want to be on our show, make sure you contact me by email, greeandideas@earthlink.net, or you can reach me on the Facebook page, Gray and Ideas Facebook page. We also have the radio page there. If you have a product you want to, as Denise said, that you want to shamelessly plug, you're welcome to come on the show, food product to shamelessly plug here. If you have a talent or whatever, if you can matter of fact, what I'd like to, I need someone who's a computer geek. That would be great. If you want to join the show and help me figure out why I can't, my system doesn't work every week, that's what I need. Someone to come on the show. I'm going to have to reset. Laurie, is your computer open to where you can tell us another food story?
Absolutely, yep. I'm just, okay, 1 second here. I started to say it's called The Feel-Good Food May Be Addictive, and though direct evidence has not found this, it says, for some people, getting hooked on super tasty food, sugary soda and ice cream, salty French fries and pizza might be partially responsible for their cravings, binge eating, and weight gain. You think? Yes.
You think? I was going to say, duh.
I'm reading all that saying that sounds really good, even though it's junk and it's not my style, but it does sound really good. High levels of sugar, fat, and salt, and various flavors and food addictives might actually hijack the pathways of the brain in ways that are similar to opiates and other drugs. The evidence suggests that sugar, in particular, stimulates a greater release of chemicals in the brain, including the, quote, pleasure molecule. Keep it nice here.
I've got a pleasure molecule, but I won't go there. Hold on a second. Do I have Hank, Bob, Aaron? Are you on? Hello.
Yep.
Aaron.
Hey, what's
Yay!
Up? What's up?
Yay! It's working.
Oh, how are you
All
feeling?
Right.
Oh, you feeling a little better?
I feel all right, like in the middle of the day, and then evening it gets worse and blah blah.
Oh yeah, around the shift time.
You
well,
know, Aaron.
Well, mate,
you need a pleasure molecule.
I have a couple. But the deal was, I was on the show, and I was here at the start of the show.
I saw you.
Okay, so I was here, and I was ready to go, and I was sitting here, and I was listening. Well, as the show started, Sunset Circus pulled up at my house.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because we're shooting video for them on February 16th.
Yeah.
So they showed up here to kind of scout out how we're going to do and set up the shoot, and we're doing the whole thing here.
Oh, cool.
So Sunset Circus shows up, and so I'm kind of talking to them, and I'm listening to you, and I'm talking to them, and I'm listening to you, and then I hear, oh, issues with Blog Talk Radio again.
of course you hear that.
So I said, guys, yeah, I'm gonna have to call him back, and we can have this conversation, and then hopefully we were gonna all talk about it, but I kind of left it at that. I was going to say the problem is getting a computer geek on the show to help you figure out what the problems is not going to help you because you won't be able to bring them on for them to give you any answers.
That's true. How can they help you when they can't get on? That's true.
Oh, man.
By the way, those the people who don't know who Sunset Circus is, they were on our show, I don't know, a month or so ago. They're a singing group that are in Florida, and actually they're cousins of Aaron, and they're going to be shooting a video. What'd you say, the 16th of February?
16th of February, yeah.
16th of February, they're going to be shooting a video on their music. And they're a great guest, and they have some great music, and we're looking forward to this video. Is Hank Bob going to be in the video, or are you just going to be there filming?
Oh, I'm going to be too busy to be able to put any Hank Bob stuff in it. It's unfortunately, but you know, I wanted to make sure Hank Bob would be there, but it's just going to be too much. It's on top of the video. What we're doing is we're just throwing a party, and anybody who wants to come over can come over, and we're just going to have a big party out in the middle of the field, and bonfires and booze and big trucks and country music, and that's kind of the way it's just going to be.
Did you hear Laurie and her sexy kitchen stories?
That's what I was going to ask him. I was going to ask if I did a better job than you, Brilliant, reading the sexy kitchen stories.
I didn't, and I'm so upset because it would give me sweet dreams at night.
You mean when I read it, it didn't do it for you?
No, I woke up in the middle of the night in cold sweat, screaming at the top of my lungs.
Hey, by the way, watching the show too, I want to find out about the rooster. Did you cook the rooster, or is the rooster still there?
Okay, so here's the deal with this thing. So this thing decided to perch on the banister of my front porch, which is also right next to my bedroom window.
Okay.
So this is where this thing roosted at 3 a.m. every morning. It woke up and cock-a-doodle-doo, 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 572 times from 3 a.m. to the time I got up at 6.
Oh, there
did
he
you
is.
Hear
that?
Did you hear him? Okay, just make sure. I just didn't know if you could hear it or not. So
he was
very close to becoming buttermilk fried chicken. He was on his way. But he found a hen. Ooh, I don't know where the hen shit came from. Like, there were no other chickens. There were only roosters. But a hen showed up from somewhere. He's now got a hen, which is his new life partner. And they don't leave each other's side, and they have roost somewhere else other than my front porch.
Oh, that's good.
So it makes me happy. He didn't have to get eaten, and he doesn't wake me up at 3 a.m.
So he was your buddy for a while, but he found something that was a lot more interesting with the hen versus you.
Correct. Now he's getting some booty, and he's much happier. But the deal is that he was my buddy for about an hour. I mean, because it was just one thing. He started falling around the yard and blah, all this other business. But when he started roosting on the front porch next to the bedroom window and waking up at 3 a.m., that first night that happened, he was no longer my friend. We couldn't – the line had been drawn. We could not be friends anymore. It was, you are my real-time pal, is what's about to happen.
Well, it's kind of funny. It was almost like on cue, the rooster starts crowing in the background.
Oh, he knows when we're talking about him. He's a little creepy. Like, he sneaks up behind me and stuff. Like, I'll just be standing there talking to somebody and turn around, and there he is standing there looking at me,
right,
watching, waiting. I don't know what he's looking for, but I know that I'm gonna wake up in the middle of the night. He's gonna have a hatchet in his hand. He's gonna be standing over me, breathing funny. It's gonna be crazy.
Well, I wanted to make sure we got an update on Roosterland, and I actually got our next guest coming in, if I can get to her. She's called in, and Sabra, if you're there, we're having technical difficulties. I'm going to try to bring you on the show here in a couple of minutes. And Laurie, since I now have just not just me on the show, and it's a lot of blank air, if you want to go now and go shopping, you may leave.
Yay, okay.
Thanks for saving.
Thanks
for
coming
to the show, Laurie.
Okay, you can't.
Wait, Laurie. Yeah. There you go.
Okay.
Who do you want to win the Super Bowl?
Who's playing? I'll tell you who's playing. I'm sure.
I knew that was going to be your answer. It doesn't matter.
Philadelphia.
Anyway.
Isn't Philadelphia playing? Am I right? No.
No.
Is it Philly? No? Oh,
no,
gosh.
I tell you, it's the New England Roosters. You want them to win?
New England? And who else?
New England.
Is Jersey? No.
No, it's Baltimore Ravens and the San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, why would they say Philly? Oh, okay. San Francisco because of Jane. My friend.
Okay. All right. Okay. So Laurie's rooting for 49ers. Okay, you can go shopping now.
Okay, take care, you guys. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. And Aaron, you're still with you and your rooster, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right, I'm going to try to bring Saberici in and if it doesn't, then you and I got to sing and dance and talk about roosters and whatever else we can do if I can't get Saber on here. So let's see here. There's the rooster. We got to have him on all the time. I like him. It's not like you're sitting in a barnyard.
I am. That's where I live.
All right. Let's see. Push this button, and we'll show everybody how intelligent we are here, or not intelligent. It's spinning. It's starting to do something. I think we might have Saberici. Saberici, are you calling in from Hawaii?
I am calling in, but I'm actually in Los Angeles this morning. Good morning, boys.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
do you
how
hear the rooster?
Are you? Not quite as early morning as normal from Hawaii. It's nice.
Well, thank you for coming on the show. I don't know if you heard the first part of the show. We gave away 3 of your books this morning.
Really? And who were the lucky winners? I can't wait to hear about it.
We had an anonymous entry that I swore that I wouldn't tell because the sexy kitchen story was pretty sexy. So I can't tell that on the air. And then the second one was Emily Ellen. You probably know Emily Ellen. Emily sent in a really neat story that we read on the air this morning, and she said, "Oh, can I play? Can I play?" I said, "Sure, you can play." So she sent in the story. And then the other one, I'm sorry, I didn't write the name down. Her first name was Lorna. I'm going to actually post these stories on my Facebook page later today, and I'll post the names of the entries. But thank you very much for letting us do the contest and giving out your book, Sexy Star Sign Cooking. It was a big hit, and everybody who participated, thank you for participating. And so how's it going out there with Sister in Los Angeles? How's it going in Los Angeles?
It's going fantastic. We're actually doing a relocation and really excited to be here. Lots and lots going on. I'm getting ready to launch a new chocolate line, chocolate bars by the sign. So that's going to be due out next month. So, yeah, we have a lot going on here, and it's really exciting. And I just want to go back to what you were talking about. It was my pleasure to participate with the books and give, you know, I really hope that the recipients enjoy the book because it's, you know, it's something that I feel really passionate about and excited. And with Valentine's Day, I think that I'll probably put it to get you. So thanks for doing the contest. I'm happy to participate.
Yeah, I went through your book, by the way. I went through your book, by the way, and you got some fancy recipes in there that I'm going to try to attempt. There was a few of them in there that I really liked. There was one called the chocolate molten cake with vanilla bean ice cream.
I actually was going to talk about that today.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Well, it's the perfect Valentine's Day dessert. Chocolate molten cake with vanilla bean ice cream and Chambord macerated raspberries.
I think if
anyone making this for someone they're trying to woo will definitely be in luck. Well, who doesn't like, first of all, chocolate and raspberries together? I mean, yeah. It's definitely one of my favorite matches. And macerating the raspberries in Chambord overnight just brings a whole new, you know, with the chocolate molten cake and the vanilla ice cream, you know, the oozing chocolate and vanilla ice cream and raspberries. Oh, my gosh. It's a match made in heaven.
Oh, it is. I mean, I was actually looking at the recipe in your book, and I'm thinking, wow, I'm getting turned on by just reading what's in it. I can't wait to make it.
Exactly. Well, I can go over the recipe, or I can send this over. We can post this on Facebook today to, because I think this and the rose petal martini are definitely, you know, the Valentine's Day winners. I also thought about, for those who want to get Valentine's Day started extra early in the morning, the amaretto pan perdue with almonds and whipped orange butter is a really lovely way to start the day as well.
Yes, definitely. And I think we ought to tease everybody with these, because these are all in your book. And I'm telling you, I'm sitting here, I'm kind of going through the book here and looking at these, and just the ingredients alone can get everything working up in the kitchen. So I think what you can do is maybe post the chocolate molten cake with vanilla bean ice cream and the raspberries, because that's my favorite. And then everybody needs to, we'll tease them a little bit with the other ones, and they need to get your book so they can find out how to make them.
That sounds great.
By the way, what is the star sign for February?
The star sign for February is Aquarius.
Aquarius.
And do we have any Aquariuses out there today?
What are you, Hank Bob, Aaron?
I'm Cancerous.
That's right.
You're Aries, right?
Yeah, I'm an Aries. Yeah, can you tell? And
Well, Aquarians are the humanitarians of the zodiac, and you know, genuinely care about the welfare and mankind of all. And it can be a difficult thing for a romantic partner to perceive and accept, because you know they want to be the special ones, but the Aquarians really care about all humankind. So, you know, you have to really let an Aquarian have their freedom and, you know, their causes, because they're definitely out there fighting for everyone. So, let them go do what they need to do, and they'll always come back to you and be really happy. That's my biggest suggestion with an Aquarian. They're also some of the most brilliant folks in the zodiac. I mean, great minds.
Oh, really?
Yes, indeed. So, I love Aquarians. Some of my favorite people. Great thinkers.
Now, these particular recipes that you're mentioning on the show today, they're not particularly just for Aquarians for the February. They're for anybody and everybody, right?
Absolutely. The martini, the rose petal martini, is actually, you know, under, it's one of the Aquarian recipes in the book. However, all of these recipes they were intended, and the book will tell you why they're intended for that particular sign. However, they're great for anyone wanting, especially for Valentine's Day. Who doesn't want a rose petal martini? I mean, roses, you know, have long been, what do you think about when you think about a huge, beautiful bouquet of red roses? I mean, it conjures up visions.
I might get lucky that night if I bring them home.
Well, that's what my husband usually thinks. I'm a lucky gal. I have a very romantic husband who brings me roses quite often. But yes, it conjures up visions of romance, and you know, they go back in rose petals. You know, go back in time. I mean, not only are they beautiful, but they're fragrant, and you know, just receiving a bouquet can, you know, throw you into visions of romance. But what most people don't know is that they're also edible and they're good for you. And candied rose petals were a favorite of Victorian England, and then eventually found their way to the United States, you know, during a period of time. But, you know, they've been used more and more often in culinary purposes, and they're really high in vitamins, you know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they have anti-inflammatory properties, and so they're great. And I don't know if you saw what I posted, the photos of the rose petal martina, but they're also really beautiful. So I think if you come bearing a rose petal martini to that special someone, they're going to be quite impressed.
So they're going to be impressed, and the only thing is you want to keep the thorns out of there, right?
Absolutely.
Well, I'm looking at it. It's pretty easy to make. I'm looking at it in the book here, too. It's easy to make. It just, if you don't mind me reading the recipe, it's 4 ounces of vodka, 2 ounces mm-hmm. of rose petal liquor, one
mm-hmm.
ounce of simple syrup. I guess it's like, is that like maple syrup?
Simple syrup is made basically using 50. You can make it at home very easily using equal amounts of sugar and water. And
okay.
then putting it on the stove and letting it dissolve, you know, bringing it to a simmer, and then letting it cool. And you can store simple syrup for a long time. You know, you can put it in a jar or a bottle and label it and have it handy. It's good to sweeten your coffee or used in cocktails or whatever, yeah.
And
instead
then you just
of using, like, granulated sugar.
And you just add that along with some lemon juice and some rose petals, sugar for the rim of the glass, and 10 fresh rose petals for garnish, and mix it up into a martini, and voila, it's lucky tonight.
Yeah, make sure you chill those glasses first. Really important step in making a good martini. Just put some ice and fill it with water and let those sit while you're making the martini so that you have a really nice chilled glass, and then dump them and pour your drink. I also think at Valentine's Day, if you can get some red fine sugar, colored sugar, that will add a lot of oomph to the drink as well.
I figure if I'm going to spend $80 for a bouquet on Valentine's Day, I should probably get two uses out of it, right?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, though, Valentine's Day, well, red rose petals, a lot of florists carry rose petals that you can just purchase that are already, you know, like that you can get to spread on your, you know, what would be really, really romantic, what I would be over the moon for is like to buy red rose petals and sprinkle them in a little path, you know, or on your in your boudoir.
Hey, Aaron, are you taking this down?
No notes for me, please. That'll get me in trouble.
and then to serve, you know, come bearing the drinks. Oh my goodness.
Recipes for love. That's what we call it. And so the last recipe you mentioned was what again? What was the next one?
The last recipe is an amaretto pan perdu with sliced almonds and a whipped orange butter. So a pan perdu is like, if you have old French bread or, you know, bread that's getting dry and isn't good, it's perfect for a pan perdu. So it's also great for using up, you know, not wasting your old French bread. But it's basically a deep dish French toast. So you you know, you mix your eggs and your amaretto and all your ingredients, and it's as easy as just laying the bread down in a baking pan and then pouring the eggs over it and putting it in the oven. I like to let it soak. You know, what is really easy is you can put this together the night before. You wake up early and put that in the oven. And, 45 minutes later to 45 minutes to an hour, depending upon, you know, the size of your pan and whatnot, you know, you're ready to go. Sprinkle it with some sliced almonds and powdered sugar and serve with your orange butter. And, you know, so it's nice. It's something that you can put together ahead of time and have it for the morning. And I'm sure everybody's going to be really, really happy.
Well, I know that. Well, I was going to say, Aaron, I'm probably sure that the real recipe would love to go with that fancy French toast. It has to have a few strips of bacon, right, Aaron?
It would be, instead of orange butter, bacon butter with a side of bacon.
Well, Well, I agree with you, boys. I who wants to have French toast without some good crisp bacon? So, yeah. And you can also use any bread that you have. I mean, I love using French bread or challah or brioche. So whatever you have on hand, and it, like I said, it couldn't be easier. And the orange butter is just, you let your butter soften and you squeeze your orange juice and orange zest and a couple tablespoons of confectioner's sugar and whip that up. And you can either pipe it on or just, you know, I like to use like a little small ice cream scoop and put a big scoop of that on. But yeah, it couldn't be easier, and you're going to get rave reviews with this.
sounds good to me. I'm getting hungry right now just thinking about it and reading all these ingredients. And everybody who's listening, make sure you can find all these recipes in Sabre's new book, Sexy Star Sign Cooking. And Sabre, give your website information again.
You can go to sabraricci.com. That's SabraRicci.com, and there's links that'll take you right to where you can purchase the book. So,
all right, now let's go back to what you originally said while you were in Los Angeles, because you sparked my interest on that one. You're coming out with some what kind of chocolate?
Chocolate bars by the sign. Each sign has a different chocolate bar, and I can't really get into too much because we're doing the launch last next month, and in fact this is the first place I've even publicly talked about this. I haven't even posted this on Facebook yet, but because we're leading up to Valentine's Day, I wanted to put it out there. But you'll be able to find them in stores in your area very soon. And I couldn't be more excited.
Sounds very interesting. So there's a different chocolate bar for each side of the zodiac.
That's right. And they're chocoscopes. Each bar will have their own horoscope or chocoscope, as we call it, inside. So it's really fun, and it's going to be a fabulous gift item. And The chocolatier that we're working with is fantastic. It's Belgian chocolate. It's fair trade. It's organic. So I'll tell you more about it when I'm here next time. And I'll send you some samples so that we can actually talk about it from an experimental level.
Hey, when you talk to this chocolatier, and by the way, yes, please do send us samples. We will make sure to eat it and tell you what we think. But when you talk to that chocolatier, is that what they're called, chocolatiers? It's like mousketeers, but chocolatiers. When you talk to a chocolatier, ask them, do they have bacon-flavored chocolate?
You know they do.
Do they?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
But I'm giving away too much. We're going to have to talk about this next time I'm here.
All right, secret squirrel.
Chocolate covered bacon, right? And then can you imagine in a chocolate bar? It's like the best.
Oh my God.
Well, I didn't know I was letting the cat out of the bag, or the pig out of the bag in this case. But yeah, let us know next month more about this when you can.
I certainly will, and I can't wait to do so. I wanted to give you a little teaser today and let you know what's coming, but I'll save the rest for next time.
Great.
You know, it's really, really exciting, and the packaging, and I can't wait.
Well, we can't wait to taste it, so you're welcome to come back next month and send us some samples, and we'll let you know. And everybody who's listening, thanks. Make sure you check out Sabraricci's website, and she'll be telling more about this new product, I'm sure, in the coming weeks. And thank you for joining us with your recipes for love. And I'm definitely going to make this molten cake. I'm going to try it out and see how it turns out. Matter of fact, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to make it, and I'm going to tell you next time you're on how it turned out.
Please do. Take some photos. Post it on Facebook. And
I will definitely do it. It may not be as pretty as yours, but I bet it'll be just as good.
Oh, it turns out beautiful. It's so easy when you bake it off in those ramekins. It's, you know, it makes it really easy to turn out beautiful. All you have to do is get it in the ramekin and bake it and top it with the ice cream and raspberries. It couldn't be easier. That's why it's the perfect. It is the perfect dessert for anyone who wants to impress someone on Valentine's Day. Because not only is it delicious, it's really easy to put together and make it look pretty. So,
and
yeah,
I'm
going to
lay a few slices of bacon. I'm going to lay a few slices of bacon on top for my buddy Aaron when I take the
bread. Oh, no. I'm stabbing crispy bacon right into the molten cake and then covering the raspberries.
You guys are bad. You're making me so hungry. I'm trying to be good out here and stick to my healthy diet. You're making me want to run down and eat pancakes and bacon.
I know already that the moment this is over, I'm making myself a BLT on toasted rye. It's happening.
Well, thank you, Sabre. We appreciate it. And come back next month and fill us in more about the new chocolatier adventure.
Oh, I'd love to. And thanks, guys. Have a
all
wonderful
right.
weekend.
Thank you.
You too, Sabre.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys, everybody, check out our website, like I said, and I'm going to try out this recipe, and I'm going to post it on Facebook and see how it turns out. And
I need that recipe because we're gonna have a molten chocolate cake cook-off.
Hey, you want to do that?
Why not? Let's do it. I need the recipe. I'm gonna post pictures.
Yeah, I'll post the picture. I'll send you the recipe, and then let's both do it, and we'll add a twist to it. We'll make it just like she did, but we'll say we have to add one extra ingredient at the end.
We can't both use bacon.
No, I just say we're not going to use bacon. We got to use something different.
Okay,
we wore bacon out on this whole story, but you got to try something else. And we take the photograph. Then we'll let everybody choose which one they think looks the best.
Okay, sounds like a plan. I like it.
All right, well, I've almost run out of time here. Now if I can just make the music work, I'll be okay. And you got anything else to add, Aaron, while I'm playing over here trying to get the system to play the music?
No, that's it, brother. I'm just hoping I'm feeling better before next week.
I hope you do feel better. You actually sound pretty good for someone who's sick. You got the flu?
No, I don't know. It's been like some crazy chest and sinus thing where it's like I'll be okay for most of the day, and then as soon as it gets about 6 p.m., I can't breathe. Choking to death. I can't hardly sleep. It's bad.
Oh, wow. Well, we hope you feel better. I think if you eat some molten chocolate cake with some bacon,
that will
you'll
cure it all.
Better.
That will cure the whole thing.
Well, everybody, thank you for joining us again on a Saturday morning where we have food, fun, entertainment, and whatever else goes on here. And join us again next Saturday when we're going to have Big John Nader and his new songs with the harmonica, Christina Westover, Dwayne Spar, and probably some other crazy things that will be going on, and I'm still trying to get music play, and it won't play. So I'm going to let you go, Aaron, and say goodbye to everyone. Everyone come back and see us, and have a nice weekend. And, by the way, go Ravens. And
okay, go Ravens.
You're not supposed to give preference, but even though I'm in California, I hope the Ravens win, but I don't know. I think the deck is stacked against them, though.
Oh, it is. It is. I'm pretty sure it is, but, you know, whatever. I can't stand San Francisco.
Me either.
Like, I can't stand the whole city. I just don't. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm kind of the same way. But anyway, on that note, I'm going to call a show, and I think I'm going to push this button. If we get music, we do. If we don't, we don't. Everyone have a nice weekend, and we'll see you next week.
tomorrow.